all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. This is what the congregation of Israel had said to Moses, the servant of the Lord at Sinai, in regard to God's proposal to them. Last month I touched on the first commandment. I had said to you how it was all about loyalty. Israel was to obey his voice and keep the covenant. And in turn they would grow to become that peculiar treasure in God's eyes. When God spoke the first of those Ten Commandments with that thunderous voice that we read in the book of Exodus, it must have shook every fiber of their being, every single one of them, shook them to their bones, because there was the voice of God thundering across the skies amongst the assembly. And it must have been of equal with each succeeding commandment. And this includes my topic for today, the second commandment. Let's open up Exodus 20 and let's read that commandment. Exodus 20 and verse 4. There are three verses associated with this commandment. Starting in verse 4, it reads, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." And that is in verse 5, it states, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." And in verse 6, "showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Last month I said the first commandment was all about loyalty. The second commandment is all about worship. Verse 4 talks about how not to worship God. He doesn't want that with the idol stuff. Verse 5 describes what happens when you do worship idols, and how it passes down, how the repercussions pass it down to your generations, to succeeding generations. And in verse 6, you get to see how what happens when you worship God correctly. You get his mercy. Brethren, God hates idolatry. He hates it in all its variations, all its forms. Why does he hate it so? Because it steals away the attention and the honor that is due him and him alone. It steals it away. In the 16th century, there was a Protestant reformer who said something very profound. And when I read this, I was in complete agreement with it. He said this: "The human heart is an idol factory." I'm sure you will all agree with that. It is, because of what Jeremiah says about the human heart. We can create many idols in our hearts for a wide variety of things. An idol can be anything or anyone. In the times of the Old Testament, we can see clearly what idols were. You know, with the Romans, you know, they had their gods and they had their little figures that represent each and every one. And in past empires like that of Babylon, the same thing. But in today's modern age, it's a little different. Oh, sure, there are in some nations around the world that they do have their little figures that they worship. Even in this country, we have that with a certain Christian group. can someone hold dear in their heart that that could cause them to break this commandment? I said it could be anything, or worse, it could be anyone. Could it be a person's husband, a woman who looks up to her husband like some sort of idol because he does everything for her, sacrifices himself? Don't get me wrong, that's his job, to do what he can for his wife and his children. Same thing for a wife towards her husband, or a husband towards his wife, you know, to sometimes some women are breadwinners, and a man will look to his wife as his savior, unfortunately. Or how about our children? Do we put them on pedestals? No, we should not. But there are other types of idols in this modern age. Take, for example, your jobs. There are people out there who are workaholics, who slave for their jobs because everything else comes a distant second. That's a form of idol worship. How about something innocent like a hobby? Like model building, coin collecting, vintage toy collecting, whatever. All that kind of stuff can really take up your time and eat away at you. Time that you could be spending with the great God in prayer and in study. Or how about an addiction? Not drugs, but social apps like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, which I believe is in the news now. People are afraid that they're going to lose that thing. Again, shows you some sort of idol worship there. Any of these things can encroach on your time with God. Any of these things. I can't say this enough. God must come first in our lives. This is what He is telling us with this commandment. He's number one. He's supposed to be. He deserves being first in our lives for all that He has done and is still doing for each and every one of us. Now, all these things that I've just mentioned can all be applied to verse 4 about the graven image thing. In verse 5, God isn't fooling around here when He states that He is a jealous God. Now, I'm sure all of us have seen what jealousy is on the human level and how that can be very wrathful. But imagine with the great God. Well, we don't have to imagine because we have the Bible to paint many pictures of God's wrath. He is a jealous God, and He talks about visiting the lawlessness of the parents to their children, to their grandchildren, to their great-grandchildren, and so on, if people break God's second commandment. This is a warning from God. He is telling us that if we don't deal with whatever idolatry that exists in our lives now, then we will pass that sin down to our children, and they in turn their children, and so on. Children learn a lot from their parents. As a matter of fact, those first few years of their lives before they go into the school system, all their educational needs is coming from mom and dad. And they mimic everything that they see. At least they try to. Sometimes it's cute. Puts a big smile on your face seeing your son trying to put on your suit, you know, when he's just a little boy. Or a little girl trying to put on her mother's high heels. I think that's adorable. But it goes to show that they're picking up on things from their mommies and daddies. My own sisters, when they were small, they put on lipstick and stuff like that because my mother did that. Just goes to show how impressionable young children can be. And more importantly, As children grow up in life, they also learn how to navigate life. You have to make sure that they are grounded in what is right as they navigate life. And this is in relation to this commandment as well. Like I said, little boys mimic their fathers and little girls their mothers. And we need to be that upright example. Because we don't want that lawlessness to be visited upon them. God ends verse 5 with the words, "that hate me." Wow. That's a very strong word, that word hate. The word hate embodies the very spirit of murder. Is it possible that people want to kill God? The answer to that question is yes. All you have to do is look at our schools and higher education. You have children there, young adults there who hate themselves, hate their nation, and they hate God. They don't want God in their business at all. The school system has been very successful in doing that. Again, puts all the more importance on the parents to make sure that their children are grounded in biblical knowledge and truth. That spirit of murder, that's just how bad it gets when one breaks that second commandment over and over. In contrast to verse 5, brethren, verse 6 gives us a beacon of hope. God shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him, and they give that love back to the Lord with the keeping of his commandments. When we keep God's commandments, we show that we love him. Right here, us being here on the Sabbath day, assembled together, we showing God that we love him for everything we do by honoring his beautiful Sabbath day. Breaking God's commandments, any of them, make us unclean in his sight. Makes us unclean, like filthy rags. But what does one have to do to clean in relation, to be clean in relation to the second commandment? Well, let us see what the patriarch Jacob had to say. He knew a little bit something about it. He knew a little something about idolatry. Not that he practiced it, no. But he did have an uncle, the brother to his mother, Rebekah, his uncle named Laban. He was a pagan, an idol worshiper. He had those little figurines that represented each of the deities that he worshiped. And of course, he was also the father to the wife of his heart, Rachel, who also was an idol worshiper. Turn to Genesis 35. Genesis 35 in verse 2. Here we see a plain thing from Jacob. Verse 2, it states, "And Jacob said to his household," and this included Rachel, "and all who were with him," he states, "put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments." To put away your foreign gods is to destroy them. You just don't put them in a drawer and forget about them. No, you take them out, burn them, get rid of them. Pretty much like what King Asa did of Judah. He killed all the idols that his mother had. Now that's pretty plain. But how did Jacob come to know about the evil of idolatry? How did he come to know this? I mean, we're talking Jacob here. This is long before the giving of the commandments. How did he know this? Well, the answer to that is that he received valuable information, valuable instruction from his father Isaac, and Isaac from his father Abraham. You see that generational thing there, passed down from one generation to the next? Truth. The second commandment is all about worship, but it doesn't plainly say what is the right way to worship God. But good news, Christ himself gives us the answer. Turn to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, there is a discussion between Jesus Christ and the Samaritan woman at the well. And I believe that well is the well of Jacob, if I'm not mistaken. And he tells this woman in verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." In spirit and truth. "For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." And in verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." There you have it. God gave Israel the letter of the law, but He has given us the spirit of the law. We see it in a much more bigger picture. So, brethren, when you are in your private place, studying and meditating on God's word like David did, all right, before you close your Bibles, before you go to sleep, bow your head and close your eyes and take that answer Israel gave to Moses in regards to God's proposal and personalize it for yourself and say this: "All that I have learned from you, Lord, from your word, I will do." Happy Sabbath, everyone.